Well, this morning I want to read from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. And if you would, stand with me as we read the Word of God. Again, Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful to have the Word of God. We're grateful to be able to study it. We're grateful to have the assistance of the Spirit of God in interpreting it and applying it to our hearts and lives. And Lord, I pray that as we examine this text this morning, that the Spirit of God would be at work, that our hearts would be attentive to what is said to us here, and that, Lord, we'd be helped and encouraged, and Lord, perhaps even convicted by it, to be a better follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless this message. Bless as we all listen and heed the Word of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. This morning I want to focus on verse number 19 by dividing it into three different sections. And I've entitled these sections An Invitation, a Transformation, and an Occupation. And that's how we'll divide this verse up and look at it this morning. And as we examine this verse, I want you to keep one question in mind. And that question is, are you following Jesus? This verse begins, verse number 19, and he saith unto them, "Follow me." The first words of Jesus here in this verse include, "Follow me." And the word "follow," I believe, speaks of an invitation. You see, the Greek word that's translated "follow" is actually two Greek words. The first of which meaning "come," and the second meaning "after," "back," or "behind." And so literally Jesus is saying, "Come behind me. Come in back of me." Or what he's saying is, "Follow me." The same word, at least the first Greek word that's used here in this text, is used in many other places in the New Testament. Some of them I'm sure you're familiar with. Matthew 11:28 is a familiar verse to most of us, where Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's an invitation. Jesus invites those that are heavy laden to come unto him, and he promises to give them rest. In Jesus' parable in Matthew chapter 22, it says in verse number 4, again, he sent forth other servants, saying, "Tell them which were bidden," that is, bidden to the marriage feast, "Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." The master of the house, he sends his servants out with an invitation. He says to them, "Everything's ready. The meal is prepared. The table is set. Come and enjoy the festivities of the marriage feast." In Matthew chapter 28, after Jesus Christ had arose from the grave, the angels give an invitation to the women that stand by. They say, "He is not here," referring to the Lord, "for he is risen, as he said." And then the angel says, "Come see the place where the Lord lay. Come. An invitation to come and to look at the empty tomb because Jesus is no longer there. When Jesus says the words, "Follow me," he's giving to the disciples an invitation. And that invitation can be accepted or it can be denied. They didn't have to follow him, but they chose to. I believe the words, "follow me," also speak of a condition. You see, an invitation is conditional pending the response. If you accept an invitation to a Christmas party, you get to go and enjoy all the festivities, all the food, all the fun. If you accept an invitation to the White House, then chances are you get the opportunity to meet the President of the United States. But I want you to notice what happens according to our text when one accepts the invitation that Jesus Christ extends. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me, and I will make you. I believe that speaks of a transformation. Jesus gives an invitation, "Follow me." And if the invitation is accepted, I believe then that a transformation begins to take place in the life of every individual, not just Simon Peter, not just Andrew, not just James, not just John, but Jesus gives us an invitation to follow him. And if we will, I believe that a transformation begins to take place. Jesus said, "I will." The "I" there refers to the Lord of the universe. The "I" refers to the one that said to Moses, "Tell them I am sent you." The self-sufficient one. The one that doesn't need any help. The one that doesn't need any assistance. The one that has been from the eternal beginning to the and will be to the eternal past. Tell them I am sent you. This "I" refers to the one that says that we can do all things through him. This is the "I" that said to Abraham, "I will make of thee a great nation." I will. The "I" refers to the Lord who transformed water into wine. A miracle. The "I" refers to the one that transformed an untamable man into an honorable citizen. Remember there in Mark chapter number 5, the man that was possessed with so many demons, they called themselves Legion. This man had been chained, and yet those chains could not hold him down. He was so violent that people feared to pass by where he resided. He was out of his mind, naked, untamable. That was until he met Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And he tamed the untamable. Amen. And that man who was a menace to society became a respectable member. He wanted to go out and tell others about what the Lord had done. And he said, "No, you stay at your home. And you tell your neighbors and your friends and your family what I have done for you." That man's life was transformed. The "I" here refers to the one who transformed 5 loaves and 2 fishes into a banquet for over 5,000 people. The "I" refers to the one who transformed a withered hand into a working hand. The "I" refers to the one who transformed a dead man, Lazarus, into a living man. I simply point all this out to say that he's big enough to make this transformation happen.
Yes, sir.
Jesus gave the invitation, "Follow me." And he said, "If you will follow me, I will make you." He's big enough to transform us into whatever he chooses.
Yep.
He says, "I will make you." I believe that it speaks of the transformation as something that's necessary. I also believe that this refers to the Lord transforming us into something that we're not. Think about that. I will make you, he says. I will make you a fisher of men. That means you're not currently a fisher of men. And that's what he's saying to Simon, Peter, and Andrew. He's saying, if you'll follow me, I'll make you into something that you're not today. And you know what? You don't have to read too far into the New Testament to discover that these men were not quite yet fishers of men. In Luke chapter 9, the disciples, James and John, after seeing that the Samaritans did not receive the Lord, they didn't believe on him there, they said to him, "Will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did?" They said, "Lord, these people are rejecting you. You want us to call fire to come down from heaven and destroy them?" And Jesus says, "You don't know what manner of spirit you speak from. The Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." You see, they weren't quite yet fishers of men. No, they wanted to destroy those that rejected the Savior just once. Remember when Jesus was there talking with the woman at the well? And when his disciples came back from town, they marveled at it, that he talked with the woman. And then it says, "And yet no man said to him, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her?" When they came back from the village and they saw Jesus Christ talking to a woman, and we understand that he was talking to her about himself, trying to bring her to a saving knowledge of who he was. And the disciples wondered to themselves, what in the world is he doing talking to her? The same thing that the Pharisees and Sadducees wondered at sometimes. Why in the world is Jesus taking the time to talk to publicans, to harlots, to sinners? You see, I think in the response of the disciples, we see that they weren't quite yet fishers of men. But they were following Jesus. Remember in Acts chapter 10, there Peter is on his rooftop, and the Lord sends him a vision, and there's a sheet that comes down from heaven, and it has an assortment of different foods and meats on it. And the Lord says, "Take and eat." And yet some of those foods were considered unclean according to the Old Testament law. And so Peter said, "Not so, Lord. Nothing unclean has ever touched my lips. I'm not about to eat of that food." And he said, "Don't call unclean what I've called clean. Now eat."
Yes, sir.
And this happened three times because Peter was hard-headed. This is in Acts chapter 10. And I think some of us understand the lesson that the Lord was trying to teach Peter, because as soon as that vision had come the third time and he had awaked, there was a knock at his door. And there was men that had come to get Simon Peter to take him to the home of Cornelius so that he could preach the gospel to him. And yet, before Peter was ever going to be willing to do that, to go and to preach the gospel to a Gentile man, to a Roman man, God was going to have to teach him a lesson. And that lesson was, it's all right, Simon Peter. Go tell the man. I don't care if he's a Roman. I don't care if he's a Gentile. He needs Christ. Here in Acts chapter 10, Simon Peter still needed to learn that the gospel was for everybody.
Amen.
He wasn't quite as good as a fisher of men as he needed to be. But he wasn't the only one. Because you know, when the other church leaders in Jerusalem found out what Simon Peter had done in preaching the gospel to Cornelius and how the Holy Ghost had come upon them, they kind of questioned him about it. In Acts 11 and verse 3 it says, "Thou wentest in unto uncircumcised and did eat with them?" That's what the preacher said in Acts chapter 11 to Simon Peter. And then it says, "But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying," and then he explained how they received the gospel and the Holy Ghost and how many were saved. And then they understood, and it says in verse number 18, they rejoiced, but they didn't at the beginning. I'm simply pointing out to you that Jesus says, if you follow me, I will make you, I'll transform you. I'll make you into something you're not. We think of the disciples as these wonderful soul winners. Really, they weren't. At least not at the beginning. That came as a result of following the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years. There's an invitation. Jesus says, come. He says, follow me. There's a transformation. He says, if you'll follow me, I will make you. I'll transform you. And then there's an occupation. It's what he transforms us into. And that is fishers of men. Simon, Peter, and Andrew, they knew something of fishing. That's what they were by trade. However, Jesus said he was going to transform them into fishers of men. They wouldn't catch fish. They'd catch men. Jesus is referring to the fact that if they would follow him, they would become soul winners. Did they? You know, it says in our text in verse 20, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. They followed. Did they then become fishers of men? Well, in Acts chapter 2, I'll turn there and read a couple of verses to you. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, it was Simon Peter who stood up to preach. It says in verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and he began to preach unto them. And that's what he does through the remainder of this chapter. And then it says in verse 41, and then they that gladly received his word, they believed in his preaching, were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Simon Peter immediately followed the Lord, wasn't a great soul winner during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, but after the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God came into Peter's life, just as Jesus predicted, Peter became a fisher of men. Three 3,000 souls were saved in this sermon that he preached. So let me ask you a question. The question I said you need to keep in mind as we examine this verse. Are you a fisher of men? Are you a fisher of men? Are you a soul winner? Are you actively attempting to bring and lead other people to Jesus Christ? If not, could it be that it's because you are not following Jesus? Because the result of following him is you become a fisher of men. You know, I don't believe the disciples had any idea what they were going to experience and witness as they followed Jesus for those 3 years. But you know what? Jesus walked from village to village, and behind him were 12 men. And they watched and witnessed all that he did. They saw the great care and love that he had for every individual. Not just the Jews, but the Gentiles. Not just the Jews in Jerusalem, but the Samaritans in Samaria. Not just the love and concern for the religious leaders, but a love and a concern for the prostitutes and the thieves. And you know what? That burden that the Lord Jesus Christ had for sinners couldn't help but be rubbed off on those disciples who followed him. And after a period of time, I believe the burden that the Lord carried became a burden for the disciples. They just kept following Jesus. And after enough time had passed, they became like Jesus, a fisher of men. You know, in John chapter 1, we find Andrew bringing Simon Peter to Jesus for the first time. And they both followed the Lord Jesus Christ for a period of time. But then they went back to fishing. And that's where we find them in Matthew chapter number 4. And Jesus came into contact with them again, and he said, "Follow me." Matter of fact, I believe Jesus extended an invitation to these two men at least 3 times in the Scriptures. And it was that 3rd time that they finally forsook all and they followed the Lord. And you know what? It's not, folks, until you forsake all and you determine in your mind you are going to follow the Lord that you'll become a fisher of men. You know what? It seems to me that Jesus spent the 3 years of his earthly ministry performing 2 primary functions. Trying to win sinners unto himself and trying to disciple others to go and do the same thing. I watched a film the other night. I won't give you the name because I'm not real sure that I recommend it at this point, but there were a lot of good things in the film. It was just a story about a man who traveled the world for 40 years carrying a cross and telling others about Jesus Christ. And even on the cover, the recommendations of other men talk about what an inspiring story it is. There are people that interviewed this man for hours. Dozens and dozens of hours. I'm sure there's been hundreds and thousands of people that watch the film and see the story of this man's life and how he went out preaching the gospel. And a lot of people, they watch that, they're inspired by that, and they say, "Boy, that's a wonderful thing." But it just hit me, but how many people go and do the same thing? If that's what it inspires, if that's how it inspires us, that many people see, "Oh, that's wonderful, that's great, but that's for him." No, Jesus wants to make every one of us who are following him a fisher of men.
Yeah.
And we may not be very effective at it today. Some of you may not be very effective at it, especially you young people. You just keep following the Lord. And one of the things that will happen is he will make you a fisher of men.
Yeah.
Brother Moody's been talking in the Sunday school class about spiritual maturity. Social maturity, the ability to be able to communicate the truth to people in an effective manner. Early on in our lives, we're not very good at carrying on social interactions with people. Early on in our salvation, we're not very good at preaching the gospel, especially in a non-offensive manner. That only comes with it only comes as you walk with the Lord. And the longer you walk with the Lord, the more you become like him. And again, like I said, one of the main things the Lord did throughout his earthly ministry was try to win sinners unto himself. That's what we need to be doing. Every one of us. You know, if you look around at Shepherdsville Baptist Church and you think to yourself, there's just not enough people here. You need to see it as your responsibility to do something about that. Now again, in and of our own strength and powers, we can't bring anybody to, we can't save anybody, but we sure can bring to them the gospel message. We sure can plant seeds. And as we plant seeds, the Lord will water and bring forth fruit. Are you a fisher of men? Are you actively seeking to win people to the Lord? If not, maybe it's because you're not following the Lord. Most Christians, professing Christians, would say, I'm following the Lord. If you're following the Lord, then you know what? You're trying to win sinners. Mm-hmm. So again, this is a good test for us in our lives. Are we a fisher of men? Maybe there was a time in our life where we were zealous about the things of God, zealous about passing out tracts, zealous about telling others about Jesus, but that zeal has waned and we no longer feel the same. We must not be following Jesus. We must not be walking with Him like we should be. Again, Jesus, He gives an invitation. He says, follow Me. He won't force you. You don't have to follow Him if you don't want to. You can stay with Daddy. James and John could have stayed with Zebedee, their father, and continued to go out into the boat and catch fish every day. It was their choice. I've heard preachers say often, God's a gentleman. He's not going to force you to get saved. He's not going to force you to follow Him. That's your choice. But He says, if you will follow Me, I will make you, I will transform you. I will transform you. Remember who said this? The Lord of the universe. He's got the power to make you whatever He wants. And He says, I will make you a fisher of men. He's not looking for someone who has great oratory ability. He's not looking for someone who has the gift of gab and communication. He's just looking for someone who's willing to go and do His bidding and tell others about Him. Will you follow the Lord Jesus Christ? I pray that each of you will. And as you do, I look forward to watching the Lord make you into a fisher of men. Can I say to the person that may be here and is not saved, Jesus loves you. He wants to save you. But first you have to recognize that you're a sinner. You've broken His law and you deserve to die and be separated from Him throughout all of eternity in the lake of fire. And that is where you will go if you don't repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this earth to die for your sins. He bled and died on an old rugged cross for you. Amen. He took your place. He took your punishment. He was buried and He came up out of the grave to prove that He was the Son of God. He overcame death. And if you will believe that, that He died for you, for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day, you can be saved. And He wants to save you. He indeed is a fisher of men. And if you'll follow Him, He'll make you one too. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for the encouragement and the instruction that we receive from it. And Lord, I pray that each of us this morning would see that we have been given an invitation. That invitation is to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that as we choose to follow You day by day, that You will transform us into something, Lord, that we aren't. That You would make us fishers of men. That we would begin to carry the burden that You have carried for so long. And that's a desire to see men and women and children come to faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be more effective soul winners. Help us throughout the year 2010 to be aware of men's spiritual conditions. Yeah. Help us to go to them with a message that can help meet their spiritual condition. God, even help our children to begin now to be fishers of men. Lord, if there's one here today that's not saved, I pray you would draw them unto thyself. Help them to see their need for a Savior. Lord, I just pray you'll take now and use this message this morning for thy glory. Use it for the benefit of thy people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with